In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do a little something different today for our Christmas sermon. We're going to do something that Martin Luther once suggested in a sermon that he preached on Christmas Day long, long time ago, to meditate upon the text, to put yourself in the place of someone that you see and hear the Lord's word as he speaks to them, speaking to you. So I'd like you to take out the Bible that's in front of you in the pew. We're going to look at the Old Testament lesson for today, Isaiah chapter 52. That's on page 613 in your pew Bibles. Isaiah chapter 52. We're going to start at the beginning of the chapter. And as we speak, I want you to remember a few things. One is that all that God has done with Israel, with Jerusalem, with his people, is meant to teach you about how he deals with all of humanity, all of the universe, and with you. So these words spoken to Jerusalem, to Zion, to Israel, are your words. Also, as we read about Zion, as we read about Jerusalem, it goes back and forth in the image between the image of a person and the image of his people. Jerusalem as a woman, the one who would become the bride of Christ, and then Israel as the people, all the people there together, as the city in which his people are gathered. God gives us these kind of images to provoke more meditation, to invite us into this image so that we can think on it, so that we can take it into our hearts, inwardly digest it, as Lutherans are so good at, and see ourselves in this story. Let's start at the beginning of the chapter to give you a bigger picture. Awake! Awake, put on your strength, O Zion, put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourself from the dust and arise. Be seated, O Jerusalem. Loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you should be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them for nothing. Now therefore, what have I here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people are taken away for nothing? Their rulers wail, declares the Lord, and continually all the day my name is despised. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day they shall know that it is I who speak. Here I am. Imagine Jerusalem, Zion, as a woman. One who was beaten down into the dust, who's laying on the ground dressed in tatters with a slave's collar around her neck. She's been abused for years and years. She's cringing on the ground in fear, just waiting for the next boot to come down. That is the state of the holy city, Jerusalem. That is the state of her after the Assyrians had come down to take away their northern neighbor, Israel, but then Babylon came afterwards for them. The walls are torn down. The buildings are destroyed. The temple itself is torn apart. Her best, her brightest are carried into exile, and all that's left are the poor and the wretched. In this place where God's people used to celebrate, in this place where they once knew God's presence, it seems like God has abandoned them. And so they've been abused for years. They've suffered at the hands of those who hate God and hate them for being beloved by God. This wretched, bride. Reminds us of our own circumstance. How often has God's church, have God's people, have each of us suffered the consequences of our own sin, but also suffered at the hands of those who are mightier than us, suffered because of things beyond our control, as the rulers of this world make one bad decision after another, commit one wickedness after another. They wail that the world is falling apart, but to us it's no surprise, because the name of the Lord is continually despised. But this chapter is not about despair. This vision of Isaiah, this prophecy, is one of hope. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion, put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and unclean. Shake yourself from the dust and arise. Be seated, O Jerusalem, loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Stand on your feet. Shake off that dust and be dressed once more in your beautiful garments, because they will no longer be torn from you. You will no longer be abused and violated. Take off the chain from your neck, because there will be no slaver to wrap it around you once more. Your freedom is coming. Your freedom is here, because God Himself comes. The Lord sees His people who are in this state, not because He wasn't strong enough to save them, not because He was gone and far away from them and the enemies got ahead of Him, not because of anything the Lord has done, but because this people had turned their back on Him and gained nothing for it but pain. Therefore, they shall be redeemed, they shall be saved, with no gold and silver, but something far more precious. The Lord loves His Zion, and so He comes to her so that she might hear again His name, so that she might hear Him say right into her ears, "Here I am for you." How beautiful! Upon the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." Here is the news. The Lord is coming. And with His coming is good news of happiness, salvation, peace. The watchmen, the voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice together. They sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. I want you to imagine now the outer wall of this city, broken down in many places because of her enemies, surrounding a city where many of the buildings within are desolated. But here on the watchtower stands the watchman, and they see something they can hardly believe. That's why eye to eye, together they see, they look out. Do you believe it? They can't stop but smile as they look at each other and realize all that they have hoped for is here. All of their pain is over, because here comes the Lord. It's His feet that are the beautiful ones. Because this isn't just some messenger that He sent out before Him telling the people what might happen. This is God Himself setting foot on our broken world to come into our life, into the city, to bring upon Himself our troubles so that we might be saved from them. So break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted His people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The desolated homes within this city will be rebuilt to make here a place that is a home for His people, as the Lord will live with them and abide with them forever. He has redeemed Jerusalem. And the Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Now imagine the king has come in great procession with all of his heavenly armies, and he comes outside the city and circles it to face outwards to protect them from their enemies, to take on the armies of darkness that surround them. This king has come, and he will guard his people forevermore. He's rolled up his sleeves, bared his holy arm to do this holy work, to win the victory that only he can. And so it was that the virgin gave birth. So it was that Jesus arrived in this world to become one of us, a human being. He who created the world, he who still holds the universe together by his power, here he is now. Here I am, he says. Hear my name, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, to save us. Jesus came in this hidden way to win a hidden victory. He's come to fight for his people, but it will not be a glorious battle for anybody who looked at it. And indeed, Isaiah seems to point us towards that, point us towards the victory that Jesus would win on the cross. Because if you look down to the next few verses, look at verse 13, chapter 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of them, for that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. You know these words. When do we hear them? Good Friday. There's a cross in this cradle. It's hard to stop. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isn't it fascinating that this prophecy that we hear at Christmas so quickly flows into what we hear in Good Friday? Jesus was born of the living womb so that he might face death. Even though he was the firstborn of his mother. But then, on the third day, Jesus was born from the dead tomb to bring us life. And he became the firstborn from the dead. Jesus was born so that he could die, so that your sins would be conquered and destroyed. Jesus the King reigned from the cross so that your enemies might be overthrown, and so that you yourself might know his peace, you yourself might know the happiness that he has for you, you yourself would be saved. Christ is born to wear a crown of thorns. The same God who comes at Christmas, came out of the tomb to speak to us on Easter. And he comes to you now, today. For this God that we have is of flesh and bone, but this God is also the Word. I want you to know that and to meditate on that. Christ comes to you in his Word, himself. So when you are knocked down in the dust, when you are trapped by those who are mightier than you, when you are abused, when you feel guilty, when the devil hounds you, when worries drown you, when you hear that word of God read from the scriptures, preached to you, spoken to you by your spouse, by your friend, prayed into you, that's Jesus. Mary conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit through the word from Gabriel, through her ears. So also this word of Jesus comes to live in your heart through your ears. And you, as God's bride, are renewed. You carry his life, and he clothes you with the beautiful garments of his salvation. He purifies you himself. He has bought you back, not with gold or silver, but with his holy and precious blood, which has also cleansed you, with which he now feeds you this day. Every day you come here to this place, Jesus is born to you in that word. Every day you meditate upon his word, Jesus himself is there right with you, sitting next to you, his arm around you, to guide you, to shape you. In every darkness, in every circumstance, Christ, the light of the world, is there to speak to you, "Here I am for you." Carry that with you this day and every day. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.